When we encounter Jesus, even in the middle of a busy day, we encounter someone who is personal enough and intimate enough to know us by name. And we encounter someone big enough, powerful enough, to hold together the whole cosmos and to save it. This semester we've been looking for Christ in the Psalms, and appropriately enough, in the middle of Holy Week, our search takes us to Psalm 118. And this very significant phrase, it's italicized there, "Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord." If you look at that sentence and meditate upon it, you soon realize that that sentence begins and it ends with two words that in my Bible back home each have little halo marks around them because of what they mean. They're transcendent words. At the end is the word Lord, which is Yahweh, the name for God so precious that the ancient people of Israel didn't even say it out loud. And at the beginning of the sentence is the word blessed, which is one of the most important words in the prayer life of the ancient people of Israel. Later Jewish texts tell us that even at ordinary mealtimes, Jews would pray something like this: "Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe. You nourish us and this whole world with your love and mercy." To pray a prayer that began, "Blessed are you, Lord our God," was a way to bring an awareness of transcendent glory right into the middle of your ordinary day. There are a lot of texts in the Psalms, as it turns out, that have transcendence at the beginning and at the end, with nothing in the middle at all. In other words, an entire focus on transcendence. Psalm 72 has one of the most famous "blessed are you" kinds of texts. Listen to it. "Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, who alone does wondrous things. Blessed be his glorious name, and may his glory fill the whole earth." One of those texts that sounds as regal as the music the choir sang a minute ago. It's kind of stand up tall and breathe deeply and sing about God's beauty and glory. But this verse from Psalm 118 keeps those two words with halos around them, but then in the middle focuses on a person. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the one who embodies the message of the Lord. Blessed is the one who, even in the middle of ordinary life, gives us a glimpse of God's glory. And I think that's the reason why this little verse has become so famous and it's been used so often by Christians. Of course, it's used in the New Testament itself, and we read it in Holy Week, because it echoes with the events of Holy Week. When Jesus came into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, the crowd sang, "Hosanna in the highest, blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord." They quoted a song they knew already from the Old Testament. And during the middle of Jesus' Holy Week teaching, I sort of picture it as Wednesday in Holy Week at about 10 o'clock. One of Jesus' Holy Week sermons ended with this line, "For I tell you, you will not see me again until you say, 'Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord.'" In Lord's Supper liturgies, for 2,000 years, it turns out this is one of the most famous little phrases, where at celebrations of the Lord's Supper, Christians have sung the hymn, "Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, the heavens and earth are full of your glory, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." And in all three of those cases, Palm Sunday, Jesus' sermon, and the Lord's Supper, it's a verse that is telling us to focus on this human Jesus who came in the flesh and suffered and died, but who reveals something of magnificent glory. In the Lord's Supper, we use tangible things, bread and wine, to convey extraordinary grace. In the text the choir is going to sing to finish this meditation in a few minutes, there is one line after another about how Jesus' earthly life and heavenly glory are juxtaposed, so that we are invited to imagine Jesus as, again, so personal and infinite, but always the transcendent Lord, clothed in light upon the mountain, that was Jesus, but stripped of might upon the cross, that was Jesus, shining in eternal glory, that was Jesus, beggared by a soldier's toss, that was Jesus. And Holy Week works the same way. This week, we remember the tangible events of Jesus' suffering. And on Friday, during the Tenebrae service on campus, we'll be reading about all of the events that led up to Jesus' death. All of those tangible events. But during Holy Week, we also get to sing hymns like Lift High the Cross that we started with, and we'll sing again in just a minute. Transcendent hymns that focus on the glory of God that we see in Jesus. One of the best living Bible commentators taught for many, many years at Whitworth College, a school a lot like Calvin in the state of Washington. He once said that his very favorite single verse to explain the mystery of the cross was this verse. It's the reference that when Jesus died, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. As he says, Jesus' death split the veil between us and God, and we can see God's glory. Even in the middle of an ordinary day, when we set our sights on Jesus Christ. We always need to remember that the holy and transcendent God, who is far too big to imagine, comes to us in intimate, concrete ways through a person who lived and died. But the converse is also true. When we give time to reflect on Jesus, even this Holy Week, what we see in Jesus' suffering and death are nothing less than the glory of God. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord.